news station.
This is USA Radio News. I'm J.J. Jeffries. Al-Qaeda's branch in Yemen says it planned and financed last week's massacre at the satirical newspaper Charlie Hebdo in Paris. The paper's first edition since the attack, which features a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad on the front page, quickly sold out today, and the print run is being increased to 5 million. A monitoring group says an Islamic extremist group in Nigeria has released a video praising last week's deadly attacks in Paris. The site intelligence group says the leader of Boko Haram expresses joy over the violence in France in the Arabic language video. The Republican-controlled House has voted to reverse two elements of President Barack Obama's agenda. Lawmakers approved legislation that would eliminate new deportation protection for millions and expose hundreds of thousands of younger immigrants to expulsion. This is the USA Radio Network. I'm J.J. Jeffries.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. Gatorsecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
House Republicans have been busy today pushing through a bill changing a key provision of the Dodd-Frank financial law. AP correspondent Jerry Bodlander reports.
Capitol Hill. Republicans have had the law in their sights for years, charging its regulations stifle competitiveness in the financial industry. The bill approved in the House would give U.S. banks 2 more years to sell off complex financial investments, investments that many liberals say are risky, but that Republicans contend are critical ways for businesses to obtain financing. The measure now goes to the Senate, and if it wins approval, it faces a veto threat. The White House says the bill would weaken and undermine the Dodd-Frank law, which tightened government oversight of banks and financial markets. Jerry Bodlander, Capitol Hill.
The Federal Reserve says the U.S. economy has been growing at a moderate pace for the past month and a half. The Fed says business contacts in its 12 regional banking districts report modest or moderate growth. I'm J.J. Jeffries.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
The New York Times says that Christians should not be able to hold public positions of leadership. Here's USA Radio senior correspondent Jason Wirt.
The New York Times has published an editorial saying that fired Atlanta Police Chief Calvin Cochran should have been fired for his Christian beliefs regarding homosexuality, even though an investigation showed he never discriminated against anyone. Steve Dace of The Steve Dace Show tells USA Radio News this shows the gay rights movement lies about everything.
What you are seeing is that this entire movement is a lie. This movement is based on a lie. And it has done nothing but lie. First, they told us no one would lose their freedom for giving homosexuals the freedom to marry. They promised us no one would lose their rights if we gave them the right to marry. And they denied it. They're no longer denying that now.
A protest was held in Atlanta calling out Mayor Mohammed Kasim Reed for discrimination against Christians. I'm Jason Wirt.
Astronauts at the International Space Station rushed to take shelter Wednesday after an alert sounded that could indicate a dangerous ammonia leak, but may have been a false alarm, the U.S. Space Agency said. The 6-member crew donned emergency masks and hurried to the Russian side of the orbiting lab after the alert at around 4 a.m., closing the hatch to the U.S. side behind them. The Russian Space Agency told news outlets in Moscow that the cause was a toxic ammonia leak. NASA said it wasn't. I'm J.J. Jeffries.
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Joe, I'm on. Are you sure?
That was the quickest start of the show ever.
Am I on the ball? Am I on time? Am I on the air?
Ask Vince.
You're the CPA. You're supposed to know these things.
I do know it.
Yes, and the answer
and
is?
And the answer is, you're late.
Hey, but Pastor Tom said I was supposed to start when I started.
Yeah, but you were second late. You weren't ready when he said start. Uh-huh. You were fumbling there at the mic.
So whose fault was it? Pastor Tom's or mine or yours?
Whose fault was it, Pastor Tom's or mine or yours?
Hey, folks, those of you that haven't listened before, you might realize that you might not be on Christian radio, but you are, because our program is a little bit different than the rest of the stuff you have on a radio. And let me just explain why. Thirteen other states. Bless you, Pastor Tom. He just tried to muffle a sneeze, and I caught you. But that was good.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
That's...
Oh, he's leaving now.
Keep him straight.
And then what happens is, if you're a credible financial advisor, you start aligning yourself with other professionals, because there's no way in the world that you know everything. So the important ones, not necessarily in this order, are CPAs. Why? Well, tax questions come up constantly. And in fact, the CPA that happens to be coincidentally sitting across from me right now, who I would never pick on just because he's funny looking and old.
Takes one to know one.
I know. Thank goodness it's radio.
You're right. Thank goodness it's radio.
Is that probably on a week?
Takes one to know one.
I know. Thank goodness it's radio.
You call me?
Probably on a week, probably on a week, takes one to know easy. Why not get any more difficult?
But it keeps doing it.
But it finds a way.
But we never started out easy, Gerald. Though the CPAs didn't start easy. They got to sit for a 3-day examination before they even get their certificate.
But that's only right.
Well, I'm saying it doesn't really start out easy per se. But I know what you mean. The body of knowledge that you need to know to get into it is this much when you get into it.
Yeah.
And then it grows.
It keeps growing and growing. So after 20-some years of doing what I'm doing, and after a tremendous amount of years being alive, doing all kinds of different stuff, I had a question last week that came up, and I did not know the answer to, and I had to call, doing all kinds of different stuff. I had a question last week of how a simple IRA worked, after all this time, now I'd heard of simples, but I had never really bumped into one.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor Tom, you've heard of IRAs, right?
Something in Ireland.
Very good. He's hiding, you see. This was not a trick question. I would never try to trick you to start with.
It was something
except occasionally. But an IRA is an individual retirement account.
I thought that's what that was.
He thought it was the rabbi at the local temple.
There's a there's a couple of basic kinds of IRAs. One is called a Roth, which means you put money in and you don't get a tax deduction when you put it in, and when you take it out years later, all the growth, everything is tax-free. A traditional IRA, you put money in and you get to write it off on your taxes, and you don't have to pay tax on it now, but when you start taking it out years later, it's all subject to tax. Now, that's just the two easy ones. Then we have simple IRAs, we have 401ks, we have, what's the other forms of IRAs? I'm having a senior
moment.
Yeah,
but a SEP IRA,
self-employed.
IRA,
right? Mm-hmm. And then there's 403Bs, 457s.
Those are just variations on the theme.
Very
401k.
And I have a self-directed IRA.
Yes, yep, self-directed. Yep.
That's another one.
So
each one has different rules about how much money you can put in.
And what you can do with the investment.
Yes. And what you, all kinds of, but they have rules. So this was a new one. We had to find the rules, and I had to get the form, and
It's complicated.
It's complicated. It's kind of like a movie. It's complicated.
Yes.
So anyway, I had to have a CPA, so it took me 25, 30 years. I finally found this guy. But I needed to have somebody that, how do I phrase this right, that was not new in business. I wanted somebody that had been around a long time. And the only reason I did this with everybody in our group, if a person is going to make mistakes, usually they make them when they're first in the business. They make them when they're young. You think that's fair, Mike?
If you're smart enough to learn from your mistakes, yes.
That's one. Two, the longer you're in business, the more conscientious you become because you don't like making mistakes.
You don't want to repeat them.
And you don't want to repeat them. And then you want to associate yourself with people that think the same way. So everybody in our group has been in business a long, long time. Vince not only has been in business a long, 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 long time, he's also from Long Island.
You would think I was Methuselah.
Close. That's close. But he also happens to be a forensic CPA, which means he's an expert witness. He has the credentials to testify in court for or against, depending on who is hiring him. And he used to also teach at the university level.
Yeah.
Not at Columbia.
SUNY Old Westbury.
The other members of the group that are important, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Independent is such a monster word today because anybody's lived in Florida for a long time has seen since Hurricane Andrew the non-renewal of insurance policies, the double and tripling and quadrupling of insurance rates. And if you work for just one insurance company, you're stuck with what they do. But as an independent, Dan, under his umbrella, has between 80 and 100 companies, not all home and car, but he now can say if this company falls out of grace, this one falls in, and he can move somebody as necessary. And at least two of us out of the three sitting here have been moved to our benefit and saved us money.
Yes.
Which was nice, wonderful.
Well, what's nice about Dan is he has so many different options to go to for insurers. You know, he's constantly looking to better your position every year. This year, he saved me over $2,000 a year in my homeowner's insurance.
Yeah. And we've had actual people that have called in on this radio show that Dan actually saved one of your regular listeners about $2,000.
Oh, yeah, saved her quite a bit.
Yeah. And it's the benefit of being what I consider one of the best independent insurance agents.
And Dan is just the consummate professional.
There you go.
And he does good work. I mean, you can see it all around.
Yep. Only 35 years in business, give or take.
I mean, really, it's only a couple of years, but he knows a lot of stuff for a couple of years.
Just stretch that out. It's a bit. It's a fur bit, you know. Would you say?
He's been in business for a while.
That's a while. And then Ms. Victoria Lloyd, who I was picking on just earlier, Remax of Stewart, has only been in real estate probably since 1980.
And she was only 10 when she got in.
Yeah, because she's only 30 now, and I don't know how this works out. But here's probably the hardest working person alive. I mean, literally, I don't care. Anybody you and I know, anybody we know, I don't know anybody that works as much as that girl does. And when she tells you she's going to do something, she does it.
Yep.
She says she's going to call you, she'll do it. She couldn't call me when they were in Europe. She ended up Skyping me.
Did it hurt?
Boy, I hope so, because it sure sounded terrible anyway. But she said she was going to get a hold of me, and by golly, she did. So, that worked. And then Greg Fasula, team attorney. Well, one of the first things that when I see a new prospect or suspect, a potential client, one of the first things I ask him is, are you ready to die?
That's not a good way to put it, Joe.
I know. But There's also two answers to that. It really depends. We are you ready to meet God? That's one answer. And the other one, if sometimes Pastor Tom and I will have fun with this one on occasion. I've asked clients, are you ready to meet God? And they say, I hope so. And I say, whoop, not the right answer. We got to work on this now. But the second one is, the attorney would say, have you done your financial planning? That means, are you ready to die? I mean, really, right?
That's right. Are your affairs in order?
Are your affairs in order?
Yeah. Well, see, you can stretch that one a bit. But financial planning, that's the big one. So, which means, do you have a will or a trust? And if you don't, one of the things I normally do is stir the pot. I kind of push people a little bit because I think it's a very important thing. Because if Dan was here and you don't have a will or a trust, Dan would say, yes, well, you do.
Yeah, because the state has one for you.
The state right? has one for
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
And your family's not going to be happy.
It's become almost the number one question I ask my clients now.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? Even on loan applications, and I'm sure Mike knows this, they're part of the questions they ask you now. Do you want a real estate loan or other loan? Do you have a will? I was shocked to see it, but it's the first time I've ever seen it in
a
bank.
I'm surprised I don't see more people put their real estate in a trust, though.
Well, you and I
it rarely comes across my desk.
Well, what Greg would tell you, there's another thing when it comes to real estate, a homestead. A homestead, when you die, if it's in a trust, does not go through probate. But if you die with a will, it doesn't go through probate. They have an administration, which to me is almost the same thing, only it takes much less time.
Mm-hmm. Also, he's assuming, Mike, that there's only one owner of that. If it's a couple of people that join in to buy a piece of property, you could have partners. You're not going to have only one owner of that. If it's a couple of people against life.
To think that a trustee.
Yeah, the revocable trust, yeah. No. Piece of property. You could have partners. You're not going to have only one owner. It's that.
To think that a trustee.
Yeah, the revocable trust. Yeah. It does offer you protections, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not absolute. Nothing's absolute.
Well, there is absolutes. Death, no,
except
tax.
For revocable trust. Yeah. It does offer you protections, yes. Not absolute. Nothing's absolute.
Nothing's absolute. Well, there is absolutes. Death,
no, except
tax.
For revocable trust. Yeah. It does offer you.
It's a good thing. Anyway, so the group is a very simple thing, a group of local professionals that have been here a long time, that have none of us are young except Mike.
Oh, 51.
Oof. You got your AARP card already. Huh?
I think I got one in the mail. The application. I didn't fill it out yet.
I got my first AARP when I was about 24.
Why?
I bought a house from an elderly couple, and I guess they thought I was older too, you know.
Well, you know, Tom, you don't look that bad, really, but you know.
I'm not 24 anymore either.
1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. So if you have any questions, we have a CPA sitting here, we have a mortgage broker sitting here, and we have a financial advisor sitting here, and we have Pastor Tom. So he'll even take questions. It you know, depends, right?
Not today.
Not today.
Depends on the question.
It depends on the question.
Well, that's
true. A biblical question to ask the
If you got a biblical question right now, because we've been, hey,
Vince
has been studying like crazy. He's trying to stump the pastor, I think, is the new game here.
No, it's not true. Actually, I like to engage in those discussions with the pastor.
I know, but
it's education.
I like the one, no meat before Noah. I mean, we got to find out about that.
Oh, yeah. I will find that passage for you.
I've got to find that one, you know, because all those people were vegetarians,
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah, they were nuts and vegetables and things like
either
that.
Either that or they ran them over with a cart first and killed them that way. Anyway, 1-888-221-8990. But we are here seriously to answer questions to help people. And if you have questions regarding mortgages, questions regarding taxes or starting a business or closing a business or what forms of business, or if you have questions to do with IRAs, questions to do with investments, that's what we're here to help with.
Exactly. And the formation of the companies is so important, Joe. If you're starting a new enterprise, you've got to get that locked down before you move forward.
you know, a lot of people, they do it after the fact, and sometimes it's too late. You know, how many times have we seen people lose thousands of dollars because of the formation of the business was done wrong?
And they can, sometimes they can undo it,
yeah,
but it's not without a lot of pain and money
there
to
you
do
go.
It, but you can do it. Sometimes you get the wrong enterprise, you know, wrong entity.
No, yeah, I was guilty of that myself. My first company I started was a C-Corp, which was a great mistake.
Can be.
Yeah.
It can be.
Well, tax-wise, it was pretty bad.
Because if you have losses in that C-Corp, you can only use it against profits in the C-Corp.
Exactly. Yeah. I had to quickly switch it, get my S election for the corporation.
Exactly. Yeah.
And fortunately, the IRS let me do it retroactive, which was rather kind of them.
Nice. Yeah, you got lucky.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, nowadays they're a little more lenient with these S elections. You can almost do it after the fact, but you got to appeal for that. You got to fill out a form.
Well, I imagine
why you want to get.
If it was 10 or 20 years as a C,
no.
I think you might have a problem.
No, it's within a year.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're filing for 14 and you didn't elect properly in 14 to be an S corp, you can still get the S status if you file an election form with your return.
Yeah, this goes back about 25 years ago, and they weren't as nice then.
No, 25 years ago, no.
You know the Infernal has become user friendly. Whoops!
Ooh.
I think we have a phone call.
Hit the green button, Joe.
Hit the green button, Joe. Caller, you're on the radio. It's Joe Martek.
Yes, hi. My name is Matt. I've been listening to the show for quite a bit now.
You have my sympathy, you know, because you know, not everybody is willing to listen that long.
I listen to you guys all the time, and I find it very educational, and I work for a financial institution.
Nice.
You guys have started explaining the concept of Roth IRA and the traditional IRA.
Right.
You started talking about the story of the simple IRA.
Right.
You never finished. I'm sitting here. What the heck is a simple IRA?
That's well, right. you got sidetracked with this simple
you know,
IRA.
But, you know, I'm glad that, you know, somebody keeps us in line. You know, this is very important because Vince, our CPA sitting over here, he doesn't keep me in line. And Dan's not here. And Victoria, she's not here. So,
believe
and Mike,
me, I tried well,
once in a while, I tried to poke him.
Pastor Tom, he just...
I gave up.
You gave up.
See, we're getting off track again.
Yeah, all right. Talk about simple.
Okay, so
it's fun, but
okay.
I can't go back to sleep. I can't go home and sleep if I don't know what a simple IRA is.
I'm going to have our CPA explain a simple IRA to you because he explained it to me this week.
Yes. Okay. What did I tell you, John?
What did you?
No, actually, with the simple IRA is an ability. Usually, it applies to entrepreneurs, small business owners. You have the ability to put money away into an IRA on a pre-tax basis. What that means is you don't pay taxes on the amounts that you contribute to it. And it like a regular IRA, it then accumulates. And then when you begin taking withdrawals, either by force, meaning when you're 70 and a half, you have to start taking distributions, or if you take them out earlier, you pay income taxes on all the money you've paid in, plus whatever accrued earnings are. So every dollar you take out of that IRA is taxable when you remove it and take a distribution. But it is a pre-tax vehicle.
However, the big difference is how much you can contribute.
Yeah, well, I was going to get to that.
No, I was careful. I'm trying to keep you in line.
Sidetracking this to want to jump to the conclusion. I tell you, everything is a process.
So you got
to
be careful with him now. He gets sidetracked here easily.
Yes,
go
he
ahead.
Does.
Go right ahead.
Anyway, it's 12.5 is the amount that you can pay.
$12,500
on a pre-tax basis for 15. A little bit more if you're over 50.
And what's the date that you have to deposit those funds?
It's due by the filing of your tax return. Actually, not with extensions. April 15th.
April 15th.
You must make that contribution
for the previous year.
Right.
So if you have, let's say you're a small business person or a sole proprietor in a business, this can work very well. Instead of having a $6,000 or $6,500 limit on a regular IRA, you now have a, if you're over 50, Vince, isn't
you get an extra. You get an extra $2,500.
So $15,000.
Yeah.
You now cannot pay tax on that $15,000 and put it into this retirement account.
Correct.
So the simple allows you to take more money out of your income each year and put it aside. But if you have employees, I think you're supposed to do the same thing for all of them.
Right. That's the catch on that.
That's the catch.
You can't just do it for yourself and be a what they'd call a top heavy.
Right. Does that make sense to you?
It does. Thank you so much.
So have you started this business now and you're making too much money?
Not really.
Not really?
No, that was only for educational
purposes. Just answer my question, yeah, because I'm sitting here. What is a simple? You're not going to get to my story before I get home.
Okay. I'm glad you called and kept us in line. Because you kept it,
make sure you call every week when we get a little bit off track here. It's really Pastor Tom's fault. You know it's not ours.
All right. Don't do that.
Thank you so much for calling.
Have a blessed day.
Thank you.
Same to you. Bye.
And we might want to remind everybody that the phone number here for your question is toll-free,
888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. And Mike Paulus, mortgage maven, here comes. There's all good news in the mortgage business today.
Yeah, well, this week has been very good, positive news. This week, the president announced his housing initiative. Part of that is to reduce the monthly mortgage insurance on FHA down by 0.5%. So that's quite a bit of savings for potential home buyers.
Of course, he didn't say that he raised it up.
Yeah, he did raise it quite a bit. he was the one that raised it up.
But, he's lowering it back down.
He saw the error of his ways, and he's reducing it back down.
So that was one good thing that happened. There was more, though.
Actually, he announced that he's going to try to get FHA to lighten up on some of its guidelines, underwriting guidelines, so that's good. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, conventional financing, also reduced their down payment requirement. So it was 5%, now it's back down to 3%.
See that?
So let me ask something, Mike. Are we heading back to the heady days of 2005?
No, I don't believe that's true. Because, with FHA, the down payment requirement has always been 3.5%. That didn't change all that much. Historically, the monthly mortgage insurance was always about 0.5% to 0.75%. That last increase raised it up to 1.35, which was a very large increase in the monthly mortgage insurance. This reduces it back down by 0.5%, but it's still above the historical average for mortgage insurance.
You know, it's very interesting because I was reading that the administration was thinking about actually doing away with FHA, Fannie Mae, and Freddie Mac.
Well, they were talking about
what they're doing, you know?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have always been profitable up until the Great Recession we just went through. Fannie Mae was always, their originations were monumental. Upward of above $800 billion a year. And they were always profitable, and they've returned to profitability. So for the government to liquidate them or get rid of them, I just don't see what the rationale is.
Oh, I agree with you. I think it served the function to help those borrowers that might try to go the conventional way and been refused or unable to get it. So this allows, it serves a niche. But the government at that time was losing, and I think that they were trying to cut back on the taxpayers' exposure to bad loans.
Well, you know what it was, Vince? You and I both know. It was good political rhetoric. And when you want to make yourself look good, you know, you say the government needs to quit funding this and quit funding that. But we have another caller.
All right. Go for it.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe, and everyone. I had a question regarding IRAs.
Okay.
We were on that subject. I wanted to know the best way, tax-wise, to pass an IRA on to heirs.
Well, that's pretty simple. If you are married, husband and wife, you each have your individual retirement account. You're not allowed to have a joint account. And normally you would name a beneficiary. Anybody that's worth his salt would definitely make you write down a beneficiary. So if you die, that money goes directly to that other person. And if you're married, you die, it would go to your husband and it would become his IRA. No tax. Now, a little bit of a wrinkle. If you're over 70 and a half and you started taking distributions, whoever would inherit that IRA would have to continue taking distributions as if you were still alive. Okay?
All right.
So you're locked into those.
So let's give you another example now. We got rid of the husband, and you're all by yourself, and you're this old widow lady, and you die, and you name your children, your blood children, as your beneficiaries. They would inherit that IRA, and in their name, no tax, but if you were over 70 and a half, they would have to continue to take distributions every year, no matter how old they were, and pay taxes if you were still alive. Got it?
Wouldn't they get the option of taking distribution or a lump sum?
Absolutely. But if they took the lump sum, guess what they do? They have to, it'd be all subject to tax that day.
Okay. So, but if they continue, so if you just name a beneficiary and they continue the distribution, there's no tax involved.
No, that's not true.
Distribution is subject to tax.
All distributions will be subject to tax. See, what's the difference here, a caller, is that with an IRA, these fall under the category in the law called income in respect to a decedent. Well, what does that mean? That means if the person that died didn't pay the taxes on the money in these funds, the estate passes the liability for taxes along with the IRA to the beneficiaries. So what you're doing is passing along the money, but you're also passing along an obligation to pay the tax on that money when you take it out of that IRA. So you don't escape taxes with an IRA or any other kind of a pension or deferred income account where you haven't paid the tax to begin with.
Okay.
But bottom line is, it can be deferred. It's deferred.
But you can, let me go backwards. It can be deferred depending on the ages. Again, like Joe pointed out, if you're under 70 and a half or the person who died was under 70 and a half was taking distributions, you have one scenario. But the beneficiaries can elect to take the distributions over their lifetime as opposed to the decedent, as long as they hadn't started making distributions before they died. So if the money hadn't been taken out, then the beneficiary might be a 30-year-old or a 25-year-old, which means you could then take it over your lifetime, which reduces the amount.
And they wouldn't have to start taking it until they were 70 and a half. Right? As long as the person that died had not started taking distributions.
Right.
Does that answer it?
Yeah. So you got
the only way to really avoid the taxes is to leave the IRA perhaps to a charity and then set up like an income kind of trust thing where it could be given to the beneficiaries that way.
You wouldn't put it into a retirement plan. You can't donate, to my knowledge, you can't donate directly the money. Unless you, as a taxpayer, you can donate money directly to a charity and get a write-off for that money and treat it as a required minimum distribution. But that's only for people who are 70 and a half and are beginning to take distributions. But another thing I want to point out to you, caller, is when you do these things, make sure that if you're going to leave it to a beneficiary, whoever that beneficiary is, and all you beneficiaries out there, make sure you title the accounts properly. Do not move the money directly into an account in your name. You've got to have it in the name of the decedent with the benefit, you being the FBO, or for the benefit of person. It's very important.
Most times, whoever has that money, when you, let's say you died and your beneficiaries, you've got one or two or three, whoever has the money normally is going to make sure you do it properly. Normally, right, Vince?
I've seen some stories, and that's why I always bring
it up.
You have to be careful with it. Just make sure it's titled right. If you go through a big bank or brokerage, they know what to do.
The key thing is that I don't believe you can leave an IRA to a charity as a named beneficiary and avoid
escape tax.
No, I don't think you can take your RMD every year once you're 70 and a half and have that go directly to the charity, and there's not a taxable consequence.
If you're alive, you can put up to $100,000 can be donated to a charity coming directly out of your IRA and be treated against your RMD. At least a portion, whatever portion it is, goes to your RMD.
Okay, very good.
Anyway.
Thank you for all the information. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for calling. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. You know what happens, Vince, and it just never ends when we think some things are pretty simple, but they always get more and more complicated because there's variables. But charitable giving, we were talking about before, where people give to the radio station, Uncle Sam does not like everybody just giving away his taxable income.
There's different planning techniques.
Hang on a second. Let me take this call because they're going to... Well, caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe. I'm calling in. I'm going to need some team help. And I think God led me to this radio program today. I'm just driving down 95, and I happened to tune into you.
Okay, great.
I'm going to be 64 in 2 weeks, and my wife and I last year have inherited two homes from our parents, and we had one death. I'm not going to load you down with all the incidentals right now, but we have insurance policies, annuities, things like that to pull together that we don't understand, and we were just talking on Sunday, my wife and I, and said to each other, we need some good Christian team help. And that's why I said I was led to this program.
You know what? You might have just come to the right place. Can you believe
there's
that?
No doubt in my mind he came to the right place.
I think so, because I'm hearing that you fellas are gelling pretty well together, and you know, you've got quite a consortium going there.
Well, one of the things we've done, we you know what, most of what we talk about is so boring it drives people nuts, so I try to bring some humor into it and let you know that we're real people too. And what we like to think is, when you talk to any one of us, it's like sitting at the kitchen table talking to a relative that you like.
Yeah. I'm glad you clarified that.
You always,
that's the way it should be. Yeah, put it all down on the table and let's hash it out and discuss it.
Here's what I think. When Connie took your name, did she take your name and phone number?
No, she didn't, but if you give me back to her when we're done with the conversation.
Yeah, do that, and then we'll get back together.
I will.
Yeah. Okay, now, hang on. Tom, can you get... How do we transfer this call back to Connie?
Okay, you can. She'll have to hang up and call back.
She'll get him.
She'll
out
do
there.
What?
She'll get him out there.
She's going to get him. Hey, guess what? Pastor Tom says no. Connie says yes. We go with Connie.
It won't go back out there.
Oh, boy.
We'll find out in just a minute. Connie, can you get him or no?
You can.
Guess what?
She said she's going to call her back. She's waiting on him to call back.
Yeah, would you just call right back and she won't put you through
right
to
back, yeah.
Thanks so
one
much.
One thing I wanted to run by you guys is one of the homes, my father's second wife has got lifetime use.
Right.
And I've been looking up lifetime use in online and everything else, and it seems like she owes all the bills, but we've been paying all the taxes on it and everything else that goes along with that.
What happened is she has a life estate. In your dad's will or trust, it should have been definitive in what she was responsible for. And if it's not,
he's got a bigger issue, and I think that's what he was asking the question was, what about from a tax perspective? Who gets the write-off?
Yeah.
That's the bigger question with that. And that, who owns title to the house? I'm sorry, I didn't catch your first name.
My sister and I.
Your sister and you both.
Oh, you both own the house. Who actually writes who writes the checks?
My sister.
She does.
Yeah.
Well, then more than likely, you know, my rule of thumb is he who owns it and pays the bill will take the deduction.
Right.
We'll take the deduction.
Now
you can work it out between you as to how much that was worth.
You know, but if you're both contributing equally into the thing, and then you...
Yeah. That's not the problem. It's that she's probably about 85 years old, and the longevity of her family is over 100, living over 100. So I'm just wondering if I'll ask you later on off air or something, or when we talk, if I should back out of this whole deal and just give my portion of the house up.
Well,
because my tax investment into it wouldn't pay off with the sale of the house.
You know what? You're right. After, we need to do some pencil and paper.
There has to be definitely need to go over the details with you, caller.
But we can, like you said, it's hard to do on the air, but we can do that separately. And that's what you got. That's why we have the team of professionals here to help you with stuff like that.
All right, fellas, let me call back. I'll give Connie my telephone number, and you can give me a call back.
We'll do it. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Nice talking to you. God bless.
Same to you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you know, I love these kind of questions when things come up, because it isn't something every day. A life estate, which we've dealt with, you know. In fact, I think I might have told you, Pastor Tom, I had a client a couple years ago, 5 years ago, whenever. You know, time flies when you're having fun. All of a sudden, it might be 10 or 20 years. Husband and wife, not a first marriage. It was her house. And in her trust, she put down that if she predeceased him, that he was allowed to stay in that house as a life estate under one circumstance. He couldn't move in another woman.
Smart lady.
And I thought, oh, well, you know, whatever you want to put in that trust, you can. And mm-hmm. that literally is the way it worked. Now, unfortunately,
cut her hair and make she he's in drag.
Unfortunately for him, he died before her.
Yeah.
So it became a mute issue. But I remember
so
sitting
it wasn't
there.
Tested.
I remember sitting there in their home, and she's bringing this up, and she's giving him a dirty look because she figured, sure as heck, he'd move some babe in right away. And she said, "No way in the world are you moving anybody in this house when I die."
Maybe she figured if he found another lady, she had a house of her own.
Well, you know, guess what? She better have. But in the meantime,
it's like I know some people personally who feel that way. You know,
yeah,
I'm gonna spend it now. I don't want the you know.
Well, you know what? You know what the saying was: all my ex-wives were good housekeepers. They all kept the house.
Oh man!
Cymbal shot.
Bada boom. 1-888-221-8990. That was some really good calls.
You know, if my son was here, he would tell you you're the biggest cornball on the
well,
planet.
Of course. You know, hey, you know, there's
don't give up your day job.
Exactly. I tell those jokes all the time, and
I get
criticized for those jokes.
I know, but I like that kind of criticism.
Cute. Somehow they sound better on Joe.
Well, you know, you ever watch a person tell a really bad joke, but they get laughing so hard
I just did.
That before they even tell you the joke, you're laughing. Even the joke makes no difference.
That's true.
Right?
Well, I'm laughing at the way that they're telling the joke.
Exactly.
And they say to me, "What, you've heard this before?" No.
Right.
I'm anticipating and watching you. You're so happy about telling this joke.
1-888-221-8990. How much time we got, Pastor Tom?
Well, I don't know yet.
The computer system.
Well, the
maybe sooner.
We've got a
fellow
here working on the screen, and the screen's off. But we're somewhere around
about 20 minutes,
15, 20 minutes.
Somewhere in there. Okay, now let's go back again. You know, and I said this today on another show that you hear these things in the paper, read these things in a paper, hear on TV that it's hard to get a mortgage. But you know, Mike, when you talk about people being able to qualify for mortgages with credit scores in the 600s,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean you've got really great credit. If you got 600s, you've had some problems.
No, as a matter of fact, we were talking about FHA earlier, and FHA technically doesn't have a credit score requirement. It's the individual lenders that place those credit scores on there. They're called overlays.
Right.
Every bank has an overlay
right.
and what they're willing to accept. And I have lenders that will go all the way down to a 540 credit score. That's not the only thing they look for,
right.
of course, but and it doesn't mean if you have a 550, you're going to qualify.
Yeah.
They look at isolated instances of people's past. If you had an unforeseen tragedy in your life, a financial difficulty, you've overcome that situation, you're back on track, that's the customer that they're looking for with a lower credit score.
Right, right.
So,
because a credit score might be a big medical bill all of a sudden that came up that might be 3 or 4 years old and they're working on it or something. I mean,
well, there's a lot of things that affect your credit score. If you have revolving debt like credit cards, if those balances are close to the limits, then that will affect your score down. Most people don't know that. And you could sometimes easily get 20, 30, 50, even 100 points just by paying down some revolving debt.
There you go. I've heard people say take out a new credit card and get an extra, say, $10,000 limit, and don't use it, and it shows that you're not using up all your credit lines, so it might help your score.
Well, yeah, that's true. And what a lot of people do...
I think it's a double-edged sword.
I know it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, and that could hurt you temporarily. For instance, like when you take out a new account, that account could actually decrease your score for the first year because they don't know how you're going to pay that account. You don't have a history on that. But a lot of people who went through credit tragedies in the past, went through bankruptcies, etc., and they're hesitant to take new credit out. Well, that's a problem because you fall off the radar screen. You need to keep some kind of credit going. So what I always suggest to customers who have very little credit is go ahead and get, you know, 2 or 3 secured credit cards.
Right.
All right. Just keep them in your glove compartment. Buy a tank of gas once a month. It's just to show some activity.
And pay it off.
But pay those accounts off every month. Because if you get a secured credit card, chances are that limit's only going to be $300 to $500.
Right, right.
It's very easy to max that card out, and then you could be reducing your credit score when you think you're increasing it.
Yep.
So you want to just keep a small balance, use it once in a while, and just pay that card off.
One of the things that Mike does that if you walk into the bank it doesn't do, you can call Mike and say, "Hey, Mike, I'm thinking about buying a house or getting a mortgage," and he'll, over the phone, find out if you qualify. He can run a credit report. He can do all kinds of stuff and in less than an hour let you know, based on that information, what you qualify for. And it eliminates a whole bunch of long-term aggravation.
Yeah, I'm certainly not a credit repair company, but I can, you know, take a look and see what you can do to tweak your credit and see how you can improve those scores.
Yeah, and if somebody's got a good credit score, you tell them over the phone, hey, and based on your income that you're telling me, this is how much of a loan you can qualify for. And if you can qualify for a $200,000 loan and you've got 20% to put down, you know, you can get yourself a $250,000 house.
Yeah. Is that for you, Joe? Yep.
Another
phone green
call.
Button.
Another green button. Green button, here we come. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe. This is Patty, and I have a question for you about the credit card things you're talking about.
Go ahead, Patty.
Yeah, I have credit cards, and I primarily just use one, but maybe two, but I always pay them off at the end of the month. I never carry a balance. And so, but sometimes, you know, I'll charge quite a bit. Does that matter?
Yeah, it does, because what happens is when we run your credit report, it's like a snapshot in time. So when we run your credit report, if your balance is $10,000 on that credit card, that's what's going to appear, and that's what's going to affect your credit score at that particular time. It doesn't matter if you pay it off. If you have a history of paying it off, that information doesn't really appear on your credit report. Your credit report just shows how you've made the payments. Did you make them on time? Did you make them delinquent? What's your balance now? What's your high limit on that account? And unfortunately, a lot of business people do this. They'll charge their whole inventory.
Charge, you're in trouble as far as your credit rating.
It could be, but that's not the only thing that influences your credit, because it goes by your credit history. And if you have, you know, 30 years of great credit and you have a lot of credit depth, is what we call it, then that's not going to affect you as much as someone who has a very limited amount of credit and you're maxed out on the cards. So it takes everything into consideration. Unfortunately, all the information on credit scores is proprietary with the credit bureaus,
right?
So we don't know exactly what will affect it, but you know what we do is when we run our credit reports, we run it through a credit report service, and they offer some really neat software programs. We can go in there and we can manipulate the balances on your account, and it will forecast what your credit score will do. And sometimes it's really shocking what just paying down some credit cards will do.
Yeah. That's what most of these repair credit companies do, right? They
charge you a fee for that.
Right.
Does that answer your question, caller? Or do we lose her already?
I think we probably
did. Probably she heard us on the radio and said, I won't listen to you guys on the phone. Okay, I understand that. 1-888-221-8990.
1-888-221. Probably on a cell phone, maybe it dropped.
You know what?
Somebody's calling back in.
Well, you know, I had my daughter just run into the same situation, because the way their income comes in, it comes in chunks, mm-hmm. big chunks. Well, they have monster limits on their credit cards. So all of a sudden, she could owe $100,000 in credit card debt, mm-hmm. and the next month owe nothing.
Right.
Well, guess what? If she applies for credit when she's going that $100,000, all of a sudden her credit score is way down.
Well, that's what's good about preparing to apply for a mortgage. If you know you're going to make a major purchase, whether that's a car or a house,
right?
You know, it's better to start evaluating your credit situation months ahead
before
of time.
You make the
start
application.
Start preparing for that, yeah. Because obviously, the better your credit score, the better terms you're going to be offered a loan.
Yep.
Makes sense.
888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. And by the way, I got a whole new different subject here. I got this article, was sent to me on a publication that I subscribe to. And let me just preface this by saying the author of this has no interest in anything I'm going to tell you about. He's a medical doctor at UCLA in California that works basically on Alzheimer's or symptoms to do with aging. And one of the article is prefaced with Alzheimer's symptoms reversed. Now, I'm doing this again because I checked him out up one side, down the other, because I always look and say, what are they trying to sell you? And this guy was not trying to sell you anything, but this particular article literally said that they have reversed the symptoms of Alzheimer's through a number of different procedures. Now, most of it is some common sense. One of it was your diet. Number two, having a nightly fast. Don't eat for 12 hours. Number three, reduce stress. Well, we like that part really well. Optimize sleep. Sleep 7 to 8 hours a night. Exercise regularly. All kinds of things make common sense. But then it also said that probably certain supplements that you could buy at Walmart or any place, including B6, B vitamins, CoQ10, fish oil, vitamin K, zinc, magnesium, all basic things that most of us have heard about or may take or may not take, might help you and might help a person reduce the symptoms of Alzheimer's. And I think, honestly, when old people like me, you know, if we don't die, this Alzheimer's thing can be bad.
I think it could be bad, young or old.
Thank you very much. So, the concept is, anybody that wants to get a copy of this article, if you call the radio station, 1-888-221-8990, 1-888-221-8990, my office will mail you one. You call or
email them?
You can email if you've got that, or if not, we'll snail mail, because I've got clients that only do snail mail, but that's okay. The concept of this is, if there's a chance to stop the symptoms, reduce the symptoms, eliminate the symptoms strictly by doing things that we can do on a daily basis, it's worth knowing about. And again, the thing that I went through some gyrations to make sure that there was no agenda, is I always look when anybody writes an article, what are they doing to make a buck out of this? And they're not. This has got nothing to do with, not a dime would go to UCLA or to this doctor. He works for the university, and I was very impressed with what it said to do. Now, I mean, Vincent, we all agree we can't eat hot dogs. We can't do all kinds of stuff that we'd like to do.
No corned beef.
No corned beef.
No hot dogs.
We didn't really like
but
all
it. But it didn't
that.
Say you couldn't eat pizza and hamburgers.
It doesn't say that.
No, it didn't say that specifically.
It doesn't say you can't, but it does say diet.
Diet.
It does say optimize your diet. Eliminate simple carbohydrates, which, okay, we all heard of this. White flour and refined sugar. Don't eat processed foods. Hot dogs.
Yeah. Okay. Processed foods.
No trans fats or partially hydrogenated vegetable oil. We've all read this stuff and heard it pretty much. Okay. And anyway, most of it, I think, is common sense from a health standpoint. But the whole concept is, if you know a relative or a friend or somebody that might have some symptoms of this, it wouldn't hurt to get a copy of this article, and you just let us know you want it, and we'll get it to you either via email or snail mail, no charge to you. 1-888-221-8990. By the way, Pastor Tom has cards, and we're the
they're flash cards,
and he loves them because he doesn't get to play with them that often, but when we're here, he does. So he just held up the 5-minute card.
That's right,
which is a good card. 1-888-221-8990.
Get those calls in. 5 more minutes on there.
5 more minutes we've got. In the meantime, also when it comes to money, if anybody is not earning around 5% on their investments, it would be a good idea for me to get them some information to show them how they can get some, what I consider relatively safe investments with monster companies, and they're not common stock. They're debt instruments, meaning either preferreds or notes or debentures through some of the biggest companies in America, and they're paying interest every 3 months. So it's a good place to park money for a short period of time, and they're liquid, meaning you can get them today and get rid of them tomorrow if you want.
Anyway. Now, Joe, when interest rates go down, because we're obviously in a lower interest rate environment, the 10-year T-bill is down to 1.89.
Oh, yeah, nothing, right.
Right. Now, do those investments tend to go up in value?
Well, the answer normally yes, but the key is this. Everything is based on supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're paying 5%, if more people want them, the value of that instrument's going to go up.
Well, you would, common sense would say, if your bank is only paying 1%.
Yeah. But
and
here
they're
comes
offering
the other
six
side.
Or seven?
They also have call dates, meaning that at a certain point, they're going to say, take your money and leave. Mm-hmm. And what I'm doing with call dates now is 2018, 2019, meaning I don't even want to talk about something that is going to be called next month or next year. I want it to have at least a 3 or 4 year window. And the ones that I'm dealing with are, and these are household names, big, big, big companies, including utilities. I mean, monster companies that are paying a very good rate.
But a worst case scenario on a call is you just get your money back.
That's the worst case scenario.
Absolutely. And you're probably not going to lose much.
Well,
no, it depends.
Now, here's what happens. Par value on these shares are $25 a share. Well, I've got two of them that are $24.60, $24.70, plus they're paying 5%. Well, guess what? If you hold it till it gets called, you get $25, which is more than you paid, plus you've been collecting the 5% interest. And there's some other ones, though, that par value is 25, and they're selling for 26 because everybody wants it. Well, that means if you held it all the way to it got called, you'd lose $1 a share. It might be worth it, because if you can get a 6% interest rate and it goes for 4 or 5 years,
you're willing to pay the premium if the return is there.
Exactly.
And then you just got a credit risk situation. It depends on what companies you're
and if you're looking at the utilities and some of the biggest
companies. They're not going out of business.
Yeah, you know, that's it. 1-888. Pastor Tom was going to say something, but he got sidetracked.
He's got
there.
The one flasher up there. He 3 minutes. He's going to two.
See, he's saying, oh, we get to get rid of him again. I don't have to put up till next week. Oh, I'm so happy. He was falling asleep here earlier in the show, but now he's really perking up.
He's perked up.
Because we're leaving.
Now, I just had to run out. We had so many calls for the article that I had to run out and help Connie answer some phones.
You know, Tom, you know, I'm impressed. You actually can answer the phone, too?
Yeah, and he could talk.
And he could talk.
And he controls all those buttons on the...
He's got buttons? Oh, you had your pin upside down, though. Got to be careful. Yes. Your wife will get upset with that ink.
Yeah, I don't need any ink spots on my shirt.
1-888-221-8990. Anybody that wants a copy of this Alzheimer's Symptoms Reverse article.
It was.
Duop.
Yeah, it wasn't Duop, the ink spots.
Ink spots.
I remember that.
Boyle, you guys are old.
you said that. We're just confirming.
So, you know, on the Pandora.
Not that old.
On the Pandora.
On Pandora.
Uh-huh. He doesn't know what that is.
I was a little lad when the Duop was popular.
Little lad? Yes. Duops. Yeah, boy. Duop was a big thing in the 50s.
There's a lot of old music I like.
Yeah, well, you're kind of old. You should like old music.
No, see, I had older brothers, so the doo-wop was always in the house.
Uh-huh.
I got the love and stuff.
1 minute. Not quite. We got 1.5 minutes.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Wait 2 seconds.
He's waiting. Okay, hey, we got flashed 1 minute. Hey, folks, we got 1 minute left. Vince, give words of wisdom.
Words of wisdom. It's tax time, folks. There's a lot of changes in the law and a lot of reason that you want to start gathering all your stuff. And choose your CPA wisely, because there are a lot of nuances in the law this year. And if you think you're going to get a refund, better do it earlier than later.
There you go.
So there's my word of wisdom.
Mike, words of wisdom from the mortgage business?
Yeah, with the reduction in the FHA mortgage insurance, if you took out a mortgage, an FHA mortgage in the last, say, 2 years, you're probably in the 4.5. You can get 3.5 today. And reduce 0.5% in your mortgage insurance. It's definitely worth taking a look at refinancing.
Yeah, $150,000 mortgage, that'd be $150 a month almost.
You're probably going to save about $150, $160 per month.
So now wait a minute. We got five fingers up. Folks, we got to leave, is what Pastor Tom is telling us. Until next week, thanks for listening. Thanks,
God bless
Paul.
You. God bless you. Bye.
Let's go.
Okay.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-229-0114.